Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Terrifying Lies Podcast, with music and stories by Craig Nybo.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to this special interest season episode of Terrifying Lies. I'm your host, Craig Nybo. Today, I present another romp into the world of the freestyle gargoyles. If you're new to the freestyle gargoyles, it is an experiment that I and my friends like to conduct occasionally, where we invite authors to read their work to a fully improvised soundtrack from a live band. We usually invite a studio audience for the event. For this edition of the Freestyle Gargoyles, we close the circle by inviting my friend Sean Hunt to conduct the proceedings. This was significant because Sean Hunt inspired the Freestyle Gargoyles from the beginning. Here's how it happened. Several years ago, Sean private messaged me on Facebook and asked a loaded question. Would you like to come play on our 36th album? His band's name was Phasmophapel. Intrigued, I agreed to show up at the designated time and place. I didn't know Sean at the time, and I didn't know what to expect. Well, upon arriving at his rehearsal space, he pointed to a chair and said, "Sit there for makeup." "Makeup?" I asked. Nonchalantly, he said, "Yeah. This one has a Day of the Dead theme." Well, I sat down, and by, someone painted a sugar skull on my face. Sean asked if everyone was ready. We all agreed and stepped into a room full of laser lights and smoke. He started a 40-minute timer, counted off the band, and we played their 36th album. At least, I think it was 36. I ended up having so much fun that when I got back to my band's rehearsal that very night, I told them about Sean's experiment. We ended up recording our first Freestyle Gargoyles album that very evening. Thanks, Sean, for inviting me to your circus and inspiring us to do something extremely fun. It was a pleasure having you, and welcome to the menace of the Freestyle Gargoyles. For today, I give you a story as performed by a longtime gargoyle and a longer time friend, none other than James Wymore. The musicians include Keith Moon on drums, me on bass, Rob Griffin on guitar, Aaron Osminski on trombone, Rick Neff on tenor sax, Brandon Tucker on trumpet, and Julie Tucker on vocals. We'll be right back.
Running through the forest, my shoes slip on the wet dirt. Damp leaves slap my face. Pine branches cut into the skin of my arms and scratch against my khakis. It's too late. How could I be so stupid? Of course there wasn't time to go to a party before nightfall. Even with the mountains in the way, the full moon rises at 20 after 8. I always know exactly when it crests the ridge. I toss my phone into some dense bushes and check my watch. 8:16 p.m. There's not enough time to get away. I knew better, but how could I refuse? I've had my eye on Annika since I started working with her a year ago. Today she tells me at lunch that she broke up with her boyfriend last week and invites me to a party. I didn't even think what day it is. But it's not her fault. How could she know? It's my fault. I should have made an excuse, asked her out a different night, any other night. But like an idiot, I think. The party starts pretty early. I just show up and say hello, slip out, and be home in plenty of time. I even told her I had to go to another thing, so I just stopped by. She seemed happy I was going at all. I tear my shirt open at the neck, popping a couple buttons off. As I get to the first ridge of the foothills, trees block my view of the house, but no matter how hard I try to get away, I fear it will not be enough. Grasping for air, my lungs and legs burning, I see a ravine half a mile away. If I can make it there, I might not be able to find my way back. I won't have any memories, no way of distinguishing the party house from any other. Not enough mental ability to even think about what I want. Just pure, hot adrenaline. I haven't caught my breath and my heart feels like it will break right out of my ribs. But at a glance at my watch tells me I don't have time to rest. 8:17. I have less than 3 minutes to run half a mile. Just because I never have doesn't mean I can't do it now. My feet pound the rocky ground as I sprint. My vision narrows to a tunnel. That ravine is my last hope, my only chance to keep Annika alive. To be fair, even though most of the blame is mine, and I'll be the one responsible for anything bad that happens, at least some of this is Brett's fault. Annika's ex, what a moron. He thinks a 16-year-old Camaro makes him a street racer. He only works out enough to have vague muscles and not enough to get rid of the gut. Honestly, I almost lost some of my interest in her when I saw him. Granted, he went out of his way to be a jerk, pulling that alpha male crap. Well, he's about to get a crash course. I wasn't surprised he started verbally sparring with me, but he should have left me alone. And when I tried to leave, for his safety, I find out he blocked my car with his crappy Camaro. Then he refuses to move it and makes a big show of laughing in my face. That's ultimately why people are gonna die tonight. What a waste. I ran through a swarm of gnats I couldn't see against the twilight sky. One bounces off my eyelid and another goes in my mouth. Choking, I swallow it instantly. I gag but force myself to concentrate and just jog. I can't run anymore. I'm not physically fit enough. But I won't give up. It's 8:18 and I absolutely must get to the ravine. How could I be so stupid? I've taken so many precautions. I told myself this would never happen again. And I made sure I was out of commission every full moon. After a few cycles, it wasn't even that big of a deal. Oversized chains and police-grade handcuffs in a sound-insulated room. I just tell people who ask that I'm working on a podcast. It works, but only if I get home on time. With so much at stake, I still can't get out of my head. I mean, Brett's got an ego, but the guy doesn't deserve to die for that. Not letting me leave, that's what cinched it. Like a thick noose made a rough rope around his fat neck. I won't remember his name. I won't remember where I am or why I came here. But I'll remember his scent. I couldn't describe it to you now. I don't even register it. Human men don't really notice that kind of thing. But I'll know it soon. In just 1 minute, 8:19, there's a growing yellow glow to the east, but I won't look at it. Even though it hasn't fully risen, if I looked at it now, I'd change, and I cannot change. Not yet. I just need time to get in that ravine. My head aches. I taste blood. It's mine. I know the difference. My hands spasm. My feet feel like I'm running barefoot across the asphalt on a 110-degree summer day. No, not yet. I just have to make it a little farther. I have a few seconds left. Have to hold it back. I release an involuntary scream as my legs grow and burst the seams of my pants. With my last ounce of control, I use those giant calves and thighs to jump higher and faster than any Olympian. As I fly through the air, I see the watch turn to 8:20. And then the band breaks and the whole thing shoots over my shoulder as hair sprouts from my swelling arm. Pain. Every muscle and bone hurts. So I curl into a fetal position mid-flight. My eyes feel like they're popping as I stare at the approaching fissure. Every thought is scrambled as my brain is squeezed down by a newly shaped skull. My spine distends out of my back as it tries to keep up with my expanding ribs. This pain never gets easier. There's no merciful passing out. It's not lost to me like the memory of everything the monster does. The pain is mine to remember forever. It's the last thing my brain registers as time slows down while I cannonball through the air and the whole world feels too small to contain the agony. I focus on the pain. When it stops, I won't have any control over the hulking death machine. Like inevitable vomit when I'm sick. My mind knows it will feel better when it's over, but I refuse to surrender. This time, I have a single thought to carry me through, a moment of satisfaction that a small piece of my consciousness holds onto as the tidal wave of burning muscle and organs erases all the rest. I exhale with relief as my body plunges over the side of the ravine. With any luck, the fall will break one of my legs and I won't be able to hurt anybody tonight. But I've never been lucky before. Not in my job, not with women, and not tonight. I'm the one that gets the pain. The monster feels nothing but rage. And in my last glimmer of rationality, when I can't hold back the tide any longer, I realize I've failed. The beast can smell everybody at that party, even from this distance. I must have run downwind. It smells Brett. It smells Annika. And the steep wall of the ravine won't even slow it down 10 seconds. The scream I've been holding turns into a hunter's howl, and I bare the fangs that moments before cut through my gums. My blood sprays out into the night. It won't be the last I taste now that the moon is risen.
For today's song, I give you a commission. As some of you know, I composed the theme song for the Writer Dojo podcast, featuring my friends Larry Correa and Steve Diamond. Well, a while ago, they approached me to compose something else for them. They play an ongoing role-playing game on Twitch. I now present their song. It's called Warriors on the Rim. Thank you. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Terrifying Lies. If you want to support the podcast, you can visit craignibo.com/support for links to my Patreon or Venmo for one-time tips. Honestly, I consider you all my friends. I am thrilled every time you decide to listen. Stay tuned for season 4 of Terrifying Lies, coming soon. Until next time, I wish you sweet dreams, or should I say, sweet nightmares.
This has been the Terrifying Lies podcast. Please come again. You're welcome here.